Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Some terrific Avalanche and Nathan MacKinnon by the numbers coming up. Sean Payton, got some fresh Sean Payton sound for you. Number of topics. Let's start with him. What's good? All right, let's talk about the idea of moving up from 12 in this first round.
I think that's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is, like, what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic.
That was Ian Rappaport, by the way. He was
giving a little grief to. Boy, Sean.
Monty Austin Fort, the general manager of the Cardinals at four.
Right. Sean has some rabbit ears, doesn't he? Nothing slips by that he's not aware of.
So much for not my hump.
Yeah. I think there's going to be competition for that number four spot. Two, I think the other teams that are in competition with you have more capital to give. So, you know, you add those two things together, the equation is it equals the Broncos not being able to move up.
But if he is saying it's realistic to move up, who's the quarterback that he has his eye on? Could it be J.J. McCarthy?
For some of these guys, we'll have an individual day separate. You know, I wasn't at J.J.'s pro day, but we had a private the next day where we sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him, just and made him throw all over again. You know, and I think it's all part of the process, and I think it can help lead to at least a more efficient and effective decision.
See, that now that there's a couple things that make sense to me. One, his ability to disseminate information that you gave him the night before, and then being able to not only disseminate it and understand it, but to be able to spit it out. So you want to see a guy that can process information quickly that you give him in a classroom setting, but then it's a matter of how quickly does he process on the field. The other thing that is individual about the individual workout that I like, don't go to the you know, the worthless what do you call those things?
Pro day.
Yeah, bring him in.
McCarthy was rolling to his left and threw back across his body like 65 yards.
No, I know. Don't go to that. Put him in uncomfortable situations where he's not, like, those things are so scripted out. They work on those for weeks. You know, they know exactly every throw they're going to make, when they're going to make it, how they're going to do it. Now, all of a sudden, you're being asked to make throws that you haven't prepared for. Big difference, right? So I like that. I think missing the pro day is an indicator that they're even more interested in J.J. McCarthy, you know, doing that 5 hour, 4 or 5 hour classroom / throwing, you know.
Well, geez, if they don't have the same kind of private workouts with Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
Then, right. Thank you. Thanks for telling us.
Yeah.
How you feel? One more. What about the incumbent starter, Jarrett Stidham?
It's kind of exactly where we saw it a year ago. We felt like this is a player who can compete. We felt like he's got upside, a young player that's really played a limited amount of snaps relative to the years he's been in the league. Did anything change in those last two games leading to this season? I can't say, in fairness to him or the process, definitively that anything did, other than we still feel real positive about this player, and we're anxious to see him when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones. It's different.
So you're talking about somebody who he just talked about Jarrett Stidham for 40 seconds without mentioning Jarrett or Stidham. Just the player.
Yeah, the player.
A player, the player. I remember when Josh McDaniels landed here when the Hurricane touched down, and he referred to Jay Cutler as the player. And people here lost their minds. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to see the Parcells, Belichick influence.
The player.
The player. That's Parcells. Mm-hmm. That's especially Parcells. Belichick to a certain degree, but I just find that funny. The whole 40 seconds of talking about Jarrett Stidham. Although he did mention JJ. He said JJ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He may be enamored with JJ.
One more for those who don't like Sean and think Sean's mean. Sean was very upbeat about what's happening right now with the Broncos.
Well, we do a great job. I mean, our organization does a great job. We're proud of the direction we're moving. I know Greg and Kerry, Rob, you know, the attention to detail and the commitment to being, you know, a first-class organization is very important.
So there you go. He's upbeat.
First class.
First class.
A lot of people would probably take umbrage with that.
Oh, I can't wait to look at that. I haven't looked at the text line during all this Peyton sound. I can't wait to look at it all after we get through this. I know that Sean gives a lot of people a nice warm fuzzy.
People do not. People don't like him.
I know. They liked it so much better when we had Vic Fangio and Nathaniel Hackett.
Let me ask you.
Vance Joseph coaching the Broncos.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Those guys didn't make them feel as uncomfortable.
What is the value of PS2?
Yeah, you saw Snead got traded.
For like a third rounder.
Third rounder.
Snead's a damn good player. It's like you lose more value after you draft a guy in the first round than you do with a car that you drive off the lot.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Justin Fields, Mac Jones, sixth round picks.
It just goes to show you the true value of the draft. The true value of the draft is salary certainty. And why would Justin Fields, who everybody was like, ooh, Justin Fields, and he could change your franchise, and this guy's about ready to explode. Maybe they should just keep Justin Fields and not draft a quarterback and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, he's worth a sixth rounder? Which, let's face it, a sixth rounder is a throwaway draft pick.
Yep. Well,
It did
get Tom Brady. I had to get that. That's
apparently
must get that out there.
First rounders are throwaway draft picks. So if that's truly the value of the draft, then why wouldn't you trade the next two drafts away if you got your guy?
F them picks. Time to light the lamp, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Avalanche with a scintillating 4-0 dig out of the hole comeback to beat Pittsburgh in overtime, 5-4, only the third time in franchise history the Avalanche have done that. And as we sit here right now with 11 games left in the season, the Avalanche have 97 points. They're tied with Dallas for first in the Central Division. And they trail Vancouver by 1 point for the best record in the West.
No, they have less points. Do they have a better record than Vancouver?
Doesn't matter. They have less points.
Well, you said the best record is different.
No, they have less points.
Okay, so you...
For the best record. No, they are 1 point behind Vancouver for the best record in the West.
Well, no, what's the record?
It goes by points. Don't do this to me.
The record and the points are two different things.
And beat you to a pulp.
They're two different things.
I'm not going to do this.
Okay, what's the record of Vancouver?
They have 98 points.
What's the record?
Doesn't matter. They have 98 points.
I just would like to know the record.
45-18-8.
45-18-8. What's the record of the Avs?
46-20-5.
Oh. Well, they got more wins.
The Avs do.
Yeah, so they got a better record.
No, they don't.
Come on!
No, I'm not going to do this. No. Because all that matters right now... Nice try. All that matters right now...
Ridiculous!
If it's not a tie, then all that matters is points. If it's a tie, then you get into... these very complex rules that the NHL has to decide tiebreakers. But in this case,
like which goalie can drink the most water.
Exactly. After giving up a goal, it's a hydration contest. After right now, after last night's action, the Avs are trailing Vancouver by 1 point for the best record in the West. I think it is just a matter of when, not if.
Best point total.
Point total in the West.
Not
they trail. Okay, they trail Vancouver for most points in the West.
Okay, now
I think it's a matter of when, not if, they pass Vancouver for most points in the West, and they finish as the number one point team in the West. Are we doing better now?
Yes.
Okay, so they finish with the number one seed. If that were to happen, it's kind of funny because if you're looking at, hey, you know, you do all this work to win your division and win the best record in the best point total in the West, you know, you're going to get an easier opponent, right? Well, actually not, because as it sits here right now, the Avs would play Nashville in the first round of the playoffs. And Nashville's been one of the hottest teams in hockey over the last month and a half. And then if you do jump over Vancouver for most points, then you get Vegas likely in the first round of the playoffs, and you know, Vegas is Vegas. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions, so I know they've had their issues, but they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. So you don't necessarily embrace the idea of getting them. So the Avs are playing great, but it is kind of funny where, like in basketball, you're the Nuggets, you finish with the top record in the West, you're going to be rewarded with a much easier opponent. Not so much when it comes to hockey. You could argue that they're getting the tougher opponent by finishing first than if they finish second or third and play Dallas or Winnipeg in the first round. There's a lot there, I know.
Yeah, there's just the records and points and overtime.
Well, then I guess the question is, then the overall question I take out of all this is that I'll toss out to Avs fans. Would you rather not win the division and play Dallas or Winnipeg in the first round, or would you rather win the division and get Nashville or Vegas in the first round? I'll throw that question out. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Up next, Cecil Lammy. Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Thank you, Roke. Up next, Cecil Lammy, live from the owners' meetings after his and their conversation with Sean Payton. That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard.
Owners meetings going on in Orlando this morning. The AFC coaches had a breakfast where you got all kinds of media access. We have both Andrew Mason and Cecil Lammy there. And we had a chance to ask Cecil what the news is coming out of his visit with Sean Payton.
It's realistic. They're going to move up. Just like I reported back in January when I heard from my guys around the league, all the scouts I talked to, like, hey, the Broncos are probably going to move up. Yeah, that's what they're probably going to do. And Sean Payton kind of had a little fun with Ian Rappaport, who had reported like, oh, it may not be realistic. No, Sean's like, no, it is realistic. Those were his words. So get ready, everybody. They got to find the quarterback they love. Then they got to find a trade partner to do that. So that was the first piece of information. The second biggest piece of information today was based off the pro day question I asked Sean Payton, and he answered about J.J. McCarthy, because he wasn't at J.J. McCarthy's pro day last week, and it was a big deal, right? Where's Sean Payton? Well, they worked out J.J. McCarthy for 5 hours the day after his pro day. So Sean Payton has had one-on-one work with J.J. McCarthy, who could be the quarterback that they fall in love with, because honestly, guys, I don't want to say he's Drew Brees. That's too high of a praise, but if we look at, you know, a little mobile, maybe not the strongest arm type of guy, very efficient, very accurate player, McCarthy could be described as such, just like Drew Brees was years ago when he came out of Purdue.
Then, Cecil, what's the price tag to move up from 12 to 4? Knowing that you're going to have to probably try to beat out the Vikings and maybe Raiders to do so.
Yeah, and the Raiders maybe less so. I'm going to dig some more on that. I think Antonio Pierce is legit. We can't make fun of the Raiders anymore. They got a real head coach. So I'm going to dig more on the Raiders thing. Let's put that on the back burner. It's Minnesota. Minnesota not being at J.J. McCarthy's pro day, like, they're not fooling anybody. That's their guy. I can almost tell you assuredly that's their guy. So, honestly, it's moving up to three. It's figuring out New England. From what I know, New England wants Jaden Daniels. Also, from what I know, the Washington Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels with Adam Peters, their GM there. They love the guy at LSU. So once New England figures out, you're not going to get Daniels. They might move off of three, and maybe that's the way that you catapult in front of Minnesota. Minnesota's got more firepower to do it. What's it take? How's it take? Look at the Jimmy Johnson chart. You know, it's really not that hard, and it won't include Pat Surtain for anyone worried about that. But they can do it. It's just finding when and how far up they can do it. Four and three are the targets. And, Sean Payton did talk about Monty today. Monty, the GM of the Cardinals. So maybe four is the spot they could be targeting.
But you are still talking about the next two drafts, the top of the next two drafts to do it.
Yeah, okay. You know, what do the Chiefs give up to move up 16 spots for Pat Mahomes? What do the Bills give up to move up five spots for Josh Allen? Like, if you get the guy, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So, oh my God, they won't have another first-round pick. They'll screw up. No, go get your guy. If you can get that franchise quarterback, take that swing. And that's why I'm worried about George Payton and his style, because George Payton seems skittish when it comes to, like, oh, there's a lot of misses in the first round, guys. Yeah, there's a lot of misses after the first round. You know, go up to the plate, see that coming in, and then crush it. That's what the Broncos have to do. And honestly, George Payton has to do it, in my opinion, if he wants to save his job.
Is there anybody else other than J.J. McCarthy that you think they may be targeting? Obviously, Drake May has been, it feels like he's fallen out of contention here, but anybody else?
Yeah, and that's the answer, Stank. I know you're not going to love it, but that's the answer, okay? Are we in a May-McCarthy sweepstakes? Is that what it is? But it's funny to note, Sean Payton kind of poo-pooed the idea of arm strength. You know this, Stank, from studying film. The physical stuff's so damn easy to see. Oh, my God, look at the arm. Oh, my God, he can run. Yeah, look, can he hit the broadside of a barn? Can he throw it in the ocean, stand on a beach? Like, there's so many problems with May's game. I was talking to one of my favorite quarterback evaluators last week, driving back from the Wyoming Pro Day, and he's like, if I squint real hard, I could see Derek Carr and Drake May. Is anybody excited about that? I don't think you should be, but is it May, McCarthy? Do you just sit put at 12 and take Bo Nix, which is not overdrafting him? I know people have said that. It's overdrafting if you take Bo Nix at 12. No, it's not. He's a top 15 pick. He's been a first-round pick for 2 years. You know, I kind of like that, I don't know, guarantee in the box like Tommy Boy, where you're assured, like, hey, this guy's been seen as a first-rounder. He's not some, you know, getting hot at the end and now he's a first-rounder. No, a guy like Bo Nix, he's been considered a first-rounder for a couple of years. Maybe the Broncos can stay put if Minnesota beats him to the punch in terms of moving up for J.J. McCarthy.
Cecil Lammy joined us from the owners' meetings in Orlando. He took in the Sean Payton breakfast/press conference this morning. If the Broncos are not looking at a quarterback and simply looking to draft a football player, is there a name or two that you think is atop their wish list?
Yeah, and it would be Brock Bowers. You know, that seems to be the standard answer. Can you get a playmaking tight end? I do know this assuredly. A playmaking tight end is likely number two on their list. Now, number one is obviously quarterback. I think you move up, you get your quarterback, and then in the mid rounds, let's say fourth round, you get a Jared Wiley from TCU. I love that kid. He's a big-bodied, basically receiver. You know, don't ask to block. Who cares? You need that weapon. You got plenty. You'll find the blockers. You got plenty of blocking tight ends. Get that weapon tight end, and they're available in the mid rounds. And you may be thinking, well, wait a second, Cease. What are you talking about? This slappy mid round guy. How many tight ends from the mid rounds have become Pro Bowlers and superstars in this league? George Kittle, Travis Kelce, need I go on? Like, here we go. We got another one potentially in a Jared Wiley. So, yeah, if they don't take a quarterback, which I, guys, it's 95% quarterback. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this has got to be it. You've got to make that move. You got to get your guy. This whole talk about Jared Stidham, that's spin, that's PR. Like, oh, Jared Stidham, he'd be fine. Jared Stidham is not good at football, okay? I don't want to be mean. It's not personal corporate. Like, no, hey, go get your guy. Go get the real starter for the Broncos. I think that's in the draft. I think they move up to do it.
If, okay, so Let's just say they can't work a deal to get up to four. There's no deal to be had for the Broncos. And and would they do you think they'd have to move up to get to Knicks, or do you think Knicks will get to them? I still am very concerned about what the Giants are going to do, because I just don't believe Daniel Jones is your guy. So I'm concerned about them, what New England's going to do, what the Giants are going to do. And then, you know, if Minnesota, depending on what they work, would Bo Nix be there at 12 in your mind?
Yes, I believe he would be. Now, it is the season of live stink. You know this. We all know this. Like, we got to work through this stuff. And I've been working on the Giants stuff since January. I was among the first to report, like, they're thinking about even moving up for a quarterback. I mean, and people are like, oh, my God, they just paid Daniel Jones. I know. Again, Daniel Jones, not good at football. You got to get a quarterback that's good at football. So I've heard recently, and again, I got to decipher whether this is more like misdirection, misinformation, but it seems like the most recent information I have about the Giants is they're not going to go with quarterback. They might go one of those receivers. You know, the three best players in this draft might be those three receivers. But anyway, so it's like, okay, I'm going to keep working on a Giants angle. What do they do there? I don't think the Raiders are as much of a threat. If that changes, I'll let everybody know based on the people I talk to. But right now, if Bo Nix is your guy, if that's the one that Sean Payton has fell in love with, then he'll be there at 12. I don't think you have to move up for him. And for the people that say move back and get a second rounder and collect more picks, like, no. If you find the guy, get your guy, even if that is Bo Nix at 12. It's not overdrafting him. That was not a bad move whatsoever. And this whole idea of, like, you can move back and you get these picks, that's a fantasy land. This ain't fantasy football, quote Nick Saban years ago. Like, this is the really real world. So get your quarterback and don't worry about, oh, more picks. Okay, more picks to screw up. Who's making the picks, right? Like, you got to get the right guys. It starts with that quarterback.
See, Salami, live at the owners' meetings, the AFC coaches' breakfast this morning in Orlando. So fire it up, Cecil. You can hear it in his voice. He thinks it's it could happen. Broncos could pull off or try to pull off the blockbuster to move all the way up into the top four to draft J.J. McCarthy. But coming up next, for a certain chunk of Broncos country, the best news you've heard in years. And we'll share it with you next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
For some of you in Broncos country, this is maybe some of the best news you've heard surrounding the Broncos in a long time. Team President Damani Leach announcing this morning that the Broncos will have new uniforms this upcoming season. And in the words of Damani Leach, quote, same colors and same logo, full redesign.
How is that a full redesign? If you're using the same logo and the same colors, how are you getting a full redesign? It's a partial redesign.
It'll just look different than anything else they've ever worn before.
I wanted them to go back to that D, or a form of that D.
I like that one too.
And I like the, I like the old. I like the, when I first got
that
here in 95,
sell, Mark.
I like.
You need something new for all the younger fans to be able to have to run out and get. Come on,
well,
now.
That would sell.
You've seen it with the Avs, the Nuggets, and the Rockies over the last. They have churned out so many different jerseys.
How cool is it when they run with a dark blue and orange, but that D helmet with a dark blue and orange? That one's cool. Come on, you got to admit that one's
cool.
I
agree. Who's hotter than Nathan MacKinnon right now?
Me.
Well, besides Mark. Who's hotter than Nathan MacKinnon? As MacKinnon passes Joe Sakic for the single season point record by any Avalanche player, 122 points, as he has now passed Joe Sakic's 120. And it came in a come-from-behind win over Pittsburgh. And MacKinnon, noting the obvious, is the team that can handle deficits.
Yeah, I mean, we've been great from behind all season. You know, we get aggressive, especially at home. I think we feed off the crowd. It's just, you know, if we don't deviate from our game plan, I think it's tough to contain us when we're down. It's just human nature to try to sit back and be safe and try to hold the lead that way. And we've been there too. We've given up lots of leads, so we know what it's like. And like I said, a full team effort to come back.
You got your choice The Avalanche are known as being a strong starting team that jumps out to early leads, or a team that maybe starts slow, but no deficit is insurmountable in their minds.
I like the way they're built. I like the fact that I don't like them starting slow, but I like the fact that they can come back. I like that. They do. I mean, that because if you're playing and you got a one or two goal lead, you start to tighten up because you know how good they are. By the way, you know what I'd like? What's the PR guy's name over there at the Avalanche?
Brendan McNicholas.
Brendan, he did do the Tuesday thing. What about, is McKinnon got more points on a Tuesday night than any other Avalanche player in history? Go to work.
Get to work on that.
Go to work.
Chop, chop. Let's go. Let's go. it ended for CU in the tournament as they fell to Marquette. Did not make it to the Sweet 16, but did set a school record for wins in a season. And in the end, Tad Boyle, proud of his team.
I love this team. I love these guys. I love those guys in that locker room. And they got nothing to hang their heads about. They competed their tails off, not just here in Indianapolis, but, you know, in Dayton the other night in the Pac-12 tournament. And it's just basically the middle of February.
For where they were going into the middle of February, before the middle of February, for them to end up where they ended up, you got to feel good about.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the missed opportunity is seeing what this team showed that they could be. Why couldn't you have got more of that in January and early February so that you're not having to come on strong, get off the bubble, get into the tournament, playing in the final four, first four? Why not do more earlier in the season so that you're going into this tournament with a comfortable, you know, 4 or 5 seed, 6 seed, right?
Right.
So that you're not having to play in the first four, that you're getting a more attractive second round matchup. Now you find yourself in the Sweet 16, and now you're like, all right.
We're moving the right direction.
This is where we should be.
But isn't that, I mean, aren't the expectations, those are the expectations now as opposed to, hey, we're just happy to be here expectations? It's kind of like Dion right now. Like, 4 wins last year were great, right? Especially the way they started the season, winning in TCU and you didn't believe and all that stuff. But now there's expectation. And on top of that, the podcast that he just did. We got, you know, Shadour's going to go 1 or 4, and Travis is going to go, you know, somewhere between in the top 4. So now, okay, if you got that kind of quality talent, and you've revamped your coaching staff, and you guys know what you're doing now, it's like the expectations have changed. And I think expectations are great. It's good to have expectations.
Now, our last remaining hope when it comes to college hoops, CU women, they're into the Sweet 16, and more than likely, we'll find out tonight, Iowa plays West Virginia, but assuming Iowa wins and they're the top seed, number one seed, West Virginia's 8. Assuming they win later this week, CU against Iowa, the rematch. Caitlin Clark, the biggest name in college basketball right now, in college basketball, not women's college basketball, the biggest name in college basketball right now. That'd be cool. Let's go Iowa.
Bigger than Edie Beattie?
Bigger than Edie Beattie. Hey, who says the Colorado Rockies don't spend money? 7 years. $63 million for Ezekiel Tovar. Coming off a really good rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Rockies, get him locked up early. Get him to give up a couple of years of free agency. 7 years, $63 million. Good deal?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good deal for the kid. I think it's a good deal for the Rockies.
Well, it's a great deal for him. I'm talking about it's a good deal for the Rockies.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great deal for the Rockies. Because then you don't have to make that decision when arbitration comes up.
This is a good move. This is a really good move. And I'm encouraged to see it because finally, they invest in the baseball team. Instead of just investing in the ballpark, they invest in the baseball team. And we'll get ready to watch it here, and I will watch it. Don't know where yet. Drew Goodman keeps saying we're going to find out this week what their cable TV arrangement's going to look like.
Is this going to be a pay-per-view thing?
I don't think so. But we're supposed to find out here in the next couple days. Good, because they start later on this week. But they got some nice, everyday young prospects that are worth watching. Mm. They just have no pitching. They trotted out what their starting five is going to look like. Oh, my God. Like, it's not like the guy in Major League. Who the heck are these guys?
Yeah, after Freeland, I don't know.
Oh, it's a bunch of Austin Gombers and Kyle Freelands and... I'll get it.
Where in the rotation?
It's not imposing, that's for sure.
Where in the rotation would Freeland be if he played for the Dodgers?
He wouldn't be in the rotation. Barely a fifth guy. I don't know. Probably Kyle Freeland would be a fifth guy for the Dodgers. He's the Rockies' ace. Yeah. it's slim pickings. One other last story to pass along. Congratulations to the DU Pioneers. They are one of four number one seeds in the upcoming NCAA hockey tournament, which gets started for them this week on Thursday. They'll play in the Springfield, Massachusetts region. They'll be taking on UMass on Thursday afternoon, noon our time.
Eesh.
I hate those games. The building's empty. It's not a lot of buzz. Pio's playing back east. It's the whole Broncos playing 11 a.m. thing. I'm more worried about that first round matchup than I would be worried about the regional final.
I wonder what...
And by the regional final, I think they roll. It's that first game that worries me.
I wonder what our record was the years I played here on those 11 o'clock Eastern games. Yeah, are those 1 o'clock Eastern games? It was like 11 o'clock Denver time. I bet it didn't bother me. I got up and played at 9 a.m.
Here's the Rockies starting rotation. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, get ready. This is going to make opposing lineups just quake.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Freeland.
Mm-hmm.
Cal Quantrill.
Okay.
Austin Gomber. Ryan Feltner. Dakota Hudson.
I'm going to be honest with you.
And you're a baseball guy.
Beyond Freeland and Gomber, I have not heard of anybody else.
You got to be a serious fantasy baseball player to know these guys. I know Cal Quantrill was with Cleveland. And Gomber is the guy that got in the Arenado deal. Other than that.
Mm-hmm. Cal Quantrill?
Cal Quantrill.
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 Sounds like a math professor to me.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, his dad or his uncle was a big league pitcher as well. Paul.
Quantrill. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why I know that, but...
I would not know why you know that either.
Boy, you got to come up with something like, what was it? They used to be Spawn Insane and Pray for Rain.
Right,
you know, we got to come up with something for this rotation. We got to come up with a nice rhyme for this rotation. Well, we got the rest of the week to work on it. That'll do it for What is a Trending, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Up next, did Michael Malone send a message to one of his young bench players? That and Deion Sanders going full LeVar Ball on us. That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Our players deserve a ton of credit for understanding what time of the year it is, how important it is to play the right way, build the right habits, and this is the time of year you want to be playing your best basketball. And I don't know how many teams you can say across the NBA are playing better than the Denver Nuggets right now.
I like that. Yeah. 13-2 since the All-Star break.
Are they 13 or 14?
14, excuse me.
Yeah,
14-2. And couple things in play here. As much as Malone continues to talk about the whole idea that, you know, we're not going to sacrifice anything to chase seeds or anything like that, I think there's a couple things that mean a lot to him and I will assume mean a lot to this team. Finishing with the number one seed in the West, and I think setting a franchise record for wins as well. That's 57. So in order to get to 58, they have to go 8-3 over their final 11 games. Which strikes me as being absolutely doable.
So they have to go 10-1 over the last 11 to hit 60,
right? 60, yeah.
But, 60 would be a big number.
But you look at their schedule. Home against Memphis tonight. Home against Phoenix on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Home against Minnesota on Friday. Home against Cleveland on Sunday. Home against San Antonio next Tuesday. Got a nice five-game home stand coming up. All of those games, they're going to be heavily favored in.
Uh-huh.
You go to the Clippers on April 4th, and the Clippers are just, talk about a team that's just put it into cruise control for the playoffs. They don't look the same as they did earlier when they were winning a bunch of games. Then they're home against Atlanta, at Utah, home against Minnesota, and they finish up against at San Antonio at Memphis. Mark,
how
I don't
home
think...
games, how many home games versus road
seven
games?
7-4. I don't think 60's out of reach. I think they definitely set the franchise record.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't see three. Do you see four losses in there?
I could easily see them going 9-2.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yep.
I could see them going 10-1.
I easily could see them going 10-1.
60 would be kind of cool, man.
60 would be kind of cool.
Nice round. Now, I wore 60 in college. That
did
was
you?
My number. 60.
How did you end up with 69?
I just...
Nah. Never mind.
They just
That's what she said.
Yeah. She is. They just.
I'll let Michael Scott do it.
Yeah. They just gave it. They just gave me that number.
Oh, and then you were like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. One more from Malone. Couple things from Malone. Okay. One, really enjoying the way that his team is handling the bullseye.
We've gone from a team that was hunting the Golden States, hunting the Milwaukees, hunting the teams that were ahead of us to try to bring our first championship back to Denver, and we've done that. And so now we're going to get everybody's best. Tonight, they had five starters out. We got their best. There's never an easy night when they're defending champion, and I think our guys, for the most part, at 50-21, at 14-2 post All-Star break, have really understood that.
Finally, I thought Michael Malone, after the game on Friday, sent a very clear message to one of his young bench players. He was asked about Christian Brown, and Brown played 36 minutes, scored 17 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block, 3 steals. He was asked about Brown, but notice what wasn't said, or what was said.
Staying confident, staying aggressive. If I make a shot, don't drop your head. Just keep on playing. And, you know, he just plays in attack mode all the time. And he's one guy off our bench I never have to worry about if he's going to play hard. And that's why, you know, aside from him and Reggie off the bench, I don't know who's going to play in the playoffs. I really don't.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Peyton Watson, you've been served. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Right?
I love staying aggressive, staying confident, doesn't hang his head. I don't ever have to worry about how he's going to play. He's always going to be in attack mode. And he's saying to the rest of the guys on that bench, hey, man, you missed a shot. It's not time to mope. Just pick up your intensity. Like,
well,
I need intensity.
And the numbers back it up. It's very clear he was taking a... sending a not-so-discreet, not-so-subtle shot at Peyton Watson. So through the first part of this month, Watson was routinely up over 20 minutes per game, taking anywhere from 7 to 10 to 11 shots,
mm-hmm.
really impacting the game all over the place. Check out these last four games. Minutes, 14, 16, 13, 15. In those last four games, he's combined 4 for 17 shooting. And even the rebounds, the assists, the blocks, the steals, that's dropped off.
Right.
So it's very clear what I just heard there. Christian Brown and Reggie Jackson, you have playoff minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Watson, based on what's happening over the last week,
right.
you are now on the bubble.
Right. You see you.
You're on the bubble.
You see you.
So let's see if Peyton Watson gets the wake-up call starting tonight at home against Memphis. In case you missed it, Deion Sanders on a podcast was asked about where he believes Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will get drafted next year in the NFL draft.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to
speak into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you on point.
It's going to be an Eli.
Eli Manning didn't want to play for the Chargers, ended up in a draft day deal. Giants end up coming away with Eli Manning. The Chargers end up with Philip Rivers. We all know how that played out. So Prime is, he's making it very clear. I am their advisor.
Right.
I may not be their agent, but I am going to be their advisor. I know the NFL. I know the people in the NFL. I know the key players in the NFL. The power brokers in the NFL, I am going to guide these guys where I believe is best for them.
Yes.
You okay with that?
Yeah. I'm just looking, where do we not want guys to go?
Now this is LeVar Ball stuff. Now this is LeVar Ball and how LeVar Ball was blasted, ridiculed, all kinds of words to use, mm-hmm. how LeVar Ball tried to steer his kids certain places.
Right.
That's LeVar Ball. He was a nobody as an athlete. This is Deion Sanders. How do you think this is going to be received by the NFL?
And they're not going to be happy about it, but there's not a whole lot they can do about it. I just look at it. I don't want my kid going to Carolina, Atlanta, probably not a Tampa.
What? Wait a minute, what's your criteria here? What's your common thread?
Oh, I'm just looking at places that I don't think are real serious about winning.
Okay.
Or, you know, ownership-wise, like, I shouldn't say aren't serious about winning. I don't care for the ownership equation.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about the way Deion might think.
That's the first and most important thing.
Yeah.
Ownership.
Oh, yeah. Chance to win. Ownership group that is going to prioritize winning above, you know, growing that franchise's net worth.
What about market size?
I don't know that market, like Green Bay is a tiny market size. You would go there in a heartbeat. Green Bay has a huge following. They've got a chance.
I don't think he wants them to go play in Green Bay. Too cold.
I don't think it's that.
I think cold weather plays a role in this.
I don't.
I think it's ownership, it's market size, climate.
I don't know that climate has that big a thing to do with this.
Okay.
What about Vegas?
Sure. Why not? Come on, Deion.
Ownership going to give you a chance to actually win?
You could probably talk.
The Chargers.
Well, they made a commitment with Jim Harbaugh. They made a commitment with Justin Herbert.
Not Jacksonville and Tennessee.
What I think is the big story out of this is I'm curious, and I'll throw this question out, we can get back into it tomorrow as well. But as a football fan listening right now, college football fan or pro football, and both, how do you feel about players gaining more and more power and influence? They clearly have it now in college,
mm-hmm.
the transfer portal, the NIL, the money they command, the money they make. The idea that same kind of power and influence can now extend into, hey, the NFL draft used to be you get drafted where you get drafted. You got no say in it. Or very few people have say in it.
Sure.
There's only been a few examples. Elway, Eli Manning. Can you think of anybody else in the last 40 years?
Not really. And it's not like all of a sudden everybody's going to be dictating. But there will be a few that have, like, could Caleb Williams just say, I'm not going to get drafted by Chicago?
Well, he's kind of changed his tune about that.
I understand that, but I mean, does he have the overall power to do that?
Probably, right?
Probably. But if the first is Deion and Shador, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. So I'm just kind of curious how football fans feel about that. Do you want the players, college players, to have this much power and influence to be able to make demands like this? Hey, is your bracket busted? Yes. Guilty. Don't worry. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket.
Oh, that's going to be good for you.
I need it.
I don't.
Head to denversports.com/hoops. I'll probably be the first one signed up. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and a PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game on Thursday, March 28th. Yes, you current frontrunners like Mark Schlereth, you don't need it, but me. Well,
when we do our secret research.
Me, because I know too much about college basketball. It's once again plaguing me, as it does every single year. The second chance bracket is...
I don't think you know as much as you think you know.
Oh, I know too much, and that's why. Because nobody who knows anything about college basketball would have thought Auburn would have lost in the second round.
Some of us did.
Yeah, right. It might prove my point. Dover and Stoke, coming up next.